A lot of football talk here today on the Kenny and JT Show. Why? Well, whenever you have a Hall of Famer come in, you always want to talk NFL football. Tim Brown joined us. If you missed that at 4 o'clock, go to WHBC.com or our Facebook page. You can watch it or listen to it. Spring game tomorrow, right? Ohio State, Steve Hellwagon on with us. And now, some news about the Cleveland Browns this week. There's always news about the Cleveland Browns. Nick Chubb's contract reworked and moving forward with things at the quarterback position with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but this guy's watching the Masters.
Well, probably. So let's bring in golfer extraordinaire, Northwestern graduate, and beat reporter for the Cleveland Browns at brownzone.com, Scott Petrak. Scotty, who's leading the Masters?
It's Ty Scheffler and DeChambeau. Scheffler just made birdie.
Did he really? Scotty, did you pick somebody before that thing started? I went with Scheffler along with Brandon, I think, is it Brandon Clark or Clark Wainwright?
Clark Wainwright.
Yeah, that's it. Those were the two that I put a little bit of money on.
I'm in a couple pools where you pick four guys.
Yep.
So I went Scheffler just because he's so good. I went Fitzpatrick, another Northwestern guy. He's playing okay. And then I had Rory, who's just hanging around. And then Matsuyama, who is struggling. And I thought he was, like, a real threat to win. You know, he's won there before.
Right.
I know he struggled yesterday. I haven't seen how he's doing today. They haven't shown him, so that's not a good sign.
That is not a good sign. When you're not being featured, that means you're not near the top of the leaderboard at that time. So we'll see how that plays out. So thanks. There's your Masters update, courtesy of Scott Petrak. Now let's talk some Browns football with Scotty. And Scotty, the big news this week was the Nick Chubb contract. What do you want to call it? Did they reassess it? Did they redo it? What's the best way to describe what they did with his contract?
Yeah, I mean, restructures. The one-word term. What they did was they cleared a bunch of cap space. I think it wound up being $9.5 million. They cut the salary way down, and he's got a chance to recoup it in incentives. But you know, he's coming off the two knee surgeries. They weren't going to live. The team wasn't going to live with the $15 million cap hit. That just wasn't. It wasn't practical. It
right.
Might not even be practical if he was healthy, but it certainly wasn't when he wasn't healthy. So. You knew something was going to be done. You know, the Browns kept, Andrew Berry kept saying he wanted to do something, but, it had to get done, and Chubb had to agree to it, and he did. So he's certainly sticking around for 2024 as expected. Now it's just, when's he able to get back on the field, and how's he wind up looking?
Back page news, man. The real news is we're not going to Brazil. You don't have to pack your bags.
Geez.
Might end up in England. We don't care about that either. But really, the big news for me is, Scotty, are they going back to the white face mask?
Oh, my gosh.
Come on.
I don't know if they're going to do that for all the games. I know I would expect them to do it for some. And I think we've talked about this. I am not a huge uniform guy. I think they've gone white face mask a couple times. Recently, or at least, I don't know, they went to white helmets a couple times. Soon, I don't know if there's white. I don't know if there's white face masks on the white helmets. I really don't. But now the NFL has allowed you to use. You can pick a third like helmet. Used to be real strict on that.
Right.
So I think the Browns will be able to bounce back and forth, and if they want to go white sometimes and gray sometimes, I don't think there's an issue.
Scotty, was that a third helmet just being a different color, or is that a different type of helmet? I mean, we've seen it in the past. Bike, Rydell, is it a different brand? Because wasn't it Tom Brady got in trouble for wearing the wrong helmet, didn't he?
When the league talks about you're allowed to use a third helmet, that's a design color or logo or whatever. Because each player can use whatever helmet they want. So I would think within the Browns locker room, I don't know if it's three or four or five different helmet manufacturers.
Okay.
Scotty, the Brazil thing, why did the Browns end up not getting picked for that game from what you've heard?
I think it's as simple as the NFL wanted Green Bay there. And apparently Green Bay's really popular in Brazil. That's what the Packers president
said. Go figure, right?
Yeah, right. I know that, the Packers were winning championships in the 50s and 60s, so I get it. But, it seems weird, right? This tiny town in Wisconsin. So I think that was a big part of it, that they have they're a big draw in Brazil. I think the holdup and why it took so long to be announced was Green Bay, I think, wanted some assurances. Like, okay, if we do this, how can you help us out with other things in the schedule? Because at least, the Packers president made a point of saying at the league meetings that it's not an easy trip, right? You got to. They might have to drive to Milwaukee to fly all the way to Brazil, right? If you're going international flight, you might not be able to do it from the Green Bay Airport or the Appleton Airport. There is a Green Bay Airport. I flew in there once. Right, so you might have to drive, which other cities don't have to do. Other teams don't have to do. The Browns go 5 minutes, and they could get on a plane. So I think there were logistical issues, but the league wanted Green Bay and made it happen, whereas the Browns are happy to go. And I think the Packers were reluctant, but then kind of acquiesced.
So then the other thing we hear is, and I don't understand, why is Carolina play so many games in London? And if they have a home game there, will the Browns be going there?
Jacksonville, you mean.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Browns are scheduled to play in Jacksonville. So Jacksonville has 8 home games. One of them will be in London. So there's a chance that the Browns are that team, that quote-unquote home game that gets played in London. And, you know, Jacksonville, I think there's a couple reasons why Jacksonville has been connected to London. They've played a game there for, it might be the last decade.
Right.
They've played more than one, at least once, maybe a couple of times. Their owner is open to it. They don't have the old-time fanatical fan bases that some cities do, right?
Right.
Green Bay's not going to give up a game a year to go to London. You know, the Browns certainly are. Pittsburgh's not. But, you know, it seemed like Jacksonville that doesn't have a long history and doesn't have a rabid fan base. I think that all contributes to then the NFL's effort to, you know, expand the game and go global.
I'll never get those two straight. Yeah. Jacksonville, Carolina. Is this the first step you believe every year for the last 10 years? They're going to move that team over there for good?
I know there's been speculation about that, but certainly there's a whole lot of logistics that have to be figured out before any team could be stationed in overseas, right? And, you know, could it be an expansion team? Yes. Like, you know, if you're picturing 10 years from now, could there be a team or two in Europe? I don't think that's crazy, but, you know, it's hard enough to get on a plane and go to the West Coast, right?
Right.
And to get on a plane, if you're the 49ers, you got to fly, even, let's say it's every 4 years, whatever, but there's AFC and NFC teams. So it would be every couple of years, you got to get on a plane and go to, you know, fly for 11 hours or whatever it is. I mean, that's a big ask. So, you know, the NFL might push there if that's where it feels there's millions and billions to be made. But, you know, that's something the union might push back on.
Scott Petrak, our guest. You can follow him on a daily basis on Twitter, at Scott Petrak. Read his stuff at brownzone.com. Bookmark it if you're a Browns fan. You definitely want to wake up and check that every day because there's always something going on with the Cleveland Browns. And, Scotty, one more thing on the London situation for the Browns, possibly. Are they more than likely going to end up over there because they haven't been since 17?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had anybody tell me it's more than likely. I think that makes them a logical candidate, right? And I don't know every other team that, you know, the 7 other teams scheduled to play in Jacksonville. I couldn't tell you the last time they played internationally, but it has been since 2017 for the Browns. And with more and more games being played internationally, and if you haven't done it in a while, then you're kind of next up on the list.
Yeah, and I think there is something where they're one of the few teams that hasn't been there in a while. So that's why a lot of people, I think, are talking about, since Brazil is a no-go, that maybe it'll be London against the Jaguars. All right, so let's go back to some actual football situational things, Scotty. Today's date is, what, the 12th, right? So 2
yep.
weeks from today will be when the Browns make their first draft pick in the second round of the NFL draft, unless they trade back in to the first round on day one, and I don't think that's going to happen. That's just me. So what are you hearing about 54 now, Scotty? Is there more information coming out from people that you know in the league which way the Browns might lean?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'd be stunned if they moved up in the first round. Right? You got to go 23 spots. You'd have to give up, and you probably have to give up next year's one and a next year 3, or I mean, you'd have to give up a bunch to move up.
Right.
So I don't think they'll do that. I think it's more likely that they trade out of the second round, which they've done the last 2 years. So, you know, it's hard, Kenny. You know, we'll talk to Andrew Berry next week. I don't expect him to say a ton, right? anyway, and especially with when you don't want to give anything away before the draft. But I think you can, they've had some of the visits that they have get leaked out. I think you have to be careful about that. They get 30 guys are allowed to come in on pre-draft visits. So they're not going to draft all 30, certainly. I'd be stunned if they drafted a quarterback early, anywhere in the first three rounds, but they've had a couple of quarterbacks in. You can use it for so many different reasons. You can bring in a guy in for a visit for intel on him for free agency down the road. Maybe you want to ask about guys that he played with or guys he played against, right? You have 30, so you can use them in a bunch of different ways. My focus is right now on defensive tackle, wide receiver, and tight end. Like, those feel to me the three most likely choices at 54. Now, if they love a player somewhere else, would that keep them from drafting a defensive end? I don't think so. Could they go offensive line? I think that's probably unlikely. Could they go running back? Maybe. I'd be a little bit surprised by that at 54. But I like the idea of defensive tackle, wide receiver, tight end, because those strike me as the biggest needs right now, even though they're not crazy glaring needs.
Scotty, I guess the draft depends on any more extensions or restructuring of contracts, which brings us back to Greg Newsom. What are they going to do with Greg Newsom? Do you think they might want to trade him and then go ahead and draft another cornerback? Does that make sense? Or will he get restructured or an extension?
Well, the first decision they have to make with Newsom, let's assume they don't trade him between now and the draft. Mm-hmm. The first decision is by May 2nd, they have to decide whether or not to pick up the fifth-year option on his rookie contract, which would be for 2025.
Okay.
Would he be in play on draft day if a team came and really wanted him? Sure, I think the Browns would move Greg Newsom. But I think the price tag is going to be high, and I think it should be high. So I don't think you take anything less than a second-round pick. I mean, he's a former number one pick, right? I don't think you take anything less than a second-rounder or a player you really like, or some combination of that. The reason I say that is I think he's a good player. He's not great, but he's a starting caliber cornerback in this league. And those are tough to find. He can play inside. He can play outside. That versatility is special. He's not making any money this year. And in 2025, he'd make, I think it's $13.7 million. And that's not breaking the bank, even if you want to call me a third-best corner. That's not breaking the bank. It's a little high, and I don't think they'll sign him to a long-term extension. But if he's not making, I think he's making a couple million dollars this year, there's no urgency to trade him right now. So I think the Browns would have to get a huge offer, and I don't think they're going to get that offer, which is why I expect him to still be here.
Scotty, that pick, the second round, all right? Do you believe that that pick is being looked at as a player that can help the team this year? Because they have most of their positions set, right? Starters, 11 on each side of the ball, special teams maybe not, but the offense and defense. Do you think they're looking at that and saying, all right, we've got to get somebody that can help us this year with that second-round pick?
I don't, Kenny, and I think that's a good point. And I was just talking to Mason Smith. He's a LSU defensive tackle. And I talked to him at the Combine and liked him, and I know he's met with the Browns at the Combine, and the coach I talked to thinks he might have had a visit here. So I just hung up a little bit ago with one of his D-line coach at LSU at the end of last season.
Okay.
And the reason I bring that up is he's a guy that is a little bit of a project. He had an ACL in 2022, so he missed almost all the season. He's had like 8 position coaches at LSU because they had a bunch of issues there. So he's a little bit raw. He's got a high ceiling, so I think that's the type of player that the Browns could draft, right? And if he has an impact right away, great. If he doesn't, it's a guy you think, hey, down the road, we really like this guy. And I think that applies to a number of positions. And that's just their philosophy in general, right? We've seen him take Anthony Schwartz. We've seen him take JOK, who took a little bit. They took Siaki Ika last year in the third round, and he barely played, right?
Yep.
So I just think philosophically they don't want to rush guys, and I think that's even more applicable when your roster is pretty set.
I'm looking right now. We have our lads draft guide in front of us, right? And I'm looking at the defensive tackle position because I think, and based on what I heard about this position. It's actually a good one as far as some depth, especially in the second round, Scotty. And there's a kid from Michigan, Chris Jenkins, a kid from Ohio State, Michael Hall, that could be possibilities in that second round. Do you, if you had to, if we were in Vegas and I said, Scotty, put here, I'm giving you $100, pick the position they're going to draft. What position are you saying?
I'm going to go, I'm torn.
Okay.
I'm going to go D tackle, but I considered receiver because I think you're going to have some good receivers sitting there at 54.
Well, here's the other thing that I heard too. There could be good receivers even in the third round, Scotty, right? That's how deep this draft is. So does it come down to, okay, this is our need, but this is best player available. Oh, and he fits our need, so we'll go that in the second round and then fall back to the third round maybe and get a receiver.
Yeah, I certainly think that is one way they could approach it, Kenny. And that's, you know, that fits their how they operate.
Right.
And, you know, they've taken a lot of, at least a couple, third-round receivers, right? Tillman and Schwartz are the third-round receiver. So I could see them doing that. I could definitely see that. I went to a D-tackle, but in the back of my head, I'm just like, oh, receiver. Just because I like some guys there. I like Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky.
Yep.
Roman Wilson from Michigan, right? Like, there's some, and it's easy to fall in love with receivers because you see them play and, you know, they make plays and score touchdowns. But there's some guys that I think are attractive that could be around at 54.
My opinion, if they look anywhere other than offensive linemen or maybe even a defensive tackle, they need their head examined because they're the most eligible to be plugged and played into a team in a lineup like the Cleveland Browns. And we've seen it so many times. I mean, when's the last time we played an entire season with a starting left tackle or right tackle?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. The only pushback I have there, JT, is a tackle, let's assume everybody's healthy, right? And maybe that's a big assumption.
Big assumption.
Not going with.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But you got Conklin, Wills, and DeJuan Jones, right? You also have James Hudson, who's been there for a while. So you have some guys that have played tackle. They signed a veteran tackle, right? Like, you have some numbers to tackle. So I don't think they're taking a tackle that high. And then you look to the interior, and I agree that they need some depth at the interior of the line, and they need to get younger. But if you take a guard at 54, the expectation is he plays right away. And forget what we just talked about is letting a guy develop.
Yeah,
I don't know if that applies to a guard at 54 when you can get a touchdown-scoring receiver. You can get a pass-rushing D-tackle, right, or pass-rushing D-end. Or even a tight end like Cade Stover, right? Somebody that can catch the ball and have a bigger influence than an interior lineman. And you already have your three starters. So if I'm going interior line, I just think you need to address, I'm waiting till day three as opposed to my first pick of the draft.
It'll be interesting to see what direction they take. You know, if it's the best player available, just go get your lineman and be done with it. Scotty, what about Mike Vrabel? I mean, the last we heard, he was at one of the casinos a couple of weeks ago as a consultant. What do you think his role on this team is going to be, or is he even going to be there?
He was at a casino?
Yeah, he was at the casino a couple weeks ago.
He's my kind of guy.
There you go.
Yeah, I think he's going to be, I don't know if he'll be in the draft room, but I'm sure he's in the draft meetings, right? Okay. He's a consultant to Andrew Berry. He's a consultant to Kevin Stefanski. I expect him to be around during this offseason program. Maybe not every day, right? But he's going to be in the building. He's going to have a role. And it's kind of a dual role with the personnel department and with the coaching staff. It'll be interesting to see how on the field he is, though, right? Because you can be around the building and you can watch film and you can be in coaches' meetings and you can be in draft meetings. When they start OTAs in May and when they get to minicamp in June and training camp in July, how much is he on the field? He's such a big presence, right? Your eyes are drawn to him. I think players will be aware of him. That's going to be interesting to see because we don't know that. And even when they got, you know, Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry got asked about that at the league meetings, I don't think they knew exactly how that was going to look.
Scotty, as I look at this football team with a healthy Deshaun Watson, right, I expect them to compete for this, for the division championship. I think, Deshaun Watson, if he can get back to close to what he was in 2020, they should compete with Burrow. And Lamar with the Bengals and the Ravens. What have you heard? I know you've got connections, and you talk to people, and Stefanski went to Deshaun Watson's restaurant opening or whatever the heck that was, you know, and all this. What are you hearing about where he is at?
Yeah, I mean, we talked to, you know, the horse's mouth, where we got it from Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That he feels really good about where he is. The not struggle, but what they have to be aware of is not going too fast and not pushing it too hard like he would want to and like most athletes would want to, right? You want to rush back, and he feels they have to be careful to manage that. But I haven't heard anything to the contrary of he's on or ahead of schedule.
Okay.
And the Browns have not flinched once about him being the confidence that not only will he be back, whatever, at some point during the offseason program, right? And they'll be able to throw, and, you know, it probably won't be 100% until training camp, but I think they expect him to be 100% at training camp. But not only that, is they expect him to be back to normal. And week one, and this not to be a long-term lasting issue. And, you know, I think it's important that they say that because this is a rare injury for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's a broken bone in your shoulder. We know how important the shoulder is. And you had the other rotator cuffs going, or the other, the strained rotator cuff going on during the season. I think it was a rotator cuff. Right, going on during the season that they don't think were connected, that they think was better by the time he wound up getting back in the lineup, and then he gets hurt again with a broken bone. So they feel like he's going to be past this. Now, I think that remains to be seen, but they have strong confidence that that's the case. At least publicly, that's what they're saying.
Scotty, have you heard anything about Joe Burrow? I mean, when he blew out that hand, it looked so painful. He couldn't grip a football. I mean, do you talk to anybody down around Cincinnati or no?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I haven't recently specifically about Joe. I think it's the combine that came up. But everything I see is they're confident, right? I mean, Cincinnati expects him to be back to normal. And they expect, you know, to be a Super Bowl contending team.
Yeah.
Like, they really think that was, not that the injury was a fluke, but how last year went for them, right? Early struggles, he gets hurt. They expect to be right back at the top of the AFC, and I'll tell you what, that's what the betting sites think too. I mean, Cincinnati is up there. The belief is that they're a top-tier AFC team.
All right, Scott, did you say you had Morikawa?
No.
Oh.
Matsuyama.
Okay, because I was going to say, I wasn't sure if it was Morikawa or Matsuyama. Morikawa's doing well, man. He's 300 par right now in the Masters.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
He's climbing the leader. And how about this? Looks like Tiger Woods is going to make the cut, Scotty. Oh. That's huge for TV ratings, isn't it?
Yeah, he's for sure going to make it. I probably watched every shot that Tiger hit today. And I'll tell you what, he still hit it good. You know, he's limping, but he wasn't limping crazy bad. It was tough this morning. It was cold, and he could sleep much. The back was tight. But he had a bunch of good shots. He made four or five birdies today, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. He's only – I mean, it's tough out there. The wind's howling. For him to be right around par, I mean, it speaks so well. The guy's played like 23 holes all year.
You've played more golf than Tiger Woods has.
That's true. I played 18 holes Wednesday.
See that? I knew that. You're always out there when you get that chance.
Stanford, Northwestern. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah. Hey, when you come down Medina way, let me know. A buddy of mine runs Bunker Hill over there. I'll take care of you, all right?
I love it over there.
Yeah, it's a great course, and he's redone a lot of things over there. Chadley's awesome. So let me know when the weather breaks and everything, when you want to come down there, all right?
Perfect.
Scotty, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the Masters, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.